Everything that God does on the earth today, He does it by His Word and His Spirit. In the Pastor William Evans Podcast, your host, Pastor William Evans, takes you through the importance of the Word of God in your everyday life. Whether you're experiencing the lowest valley or the highest mountain, the Word of God is essential. As we depend on it and read it daily, we form an unbreakable bond with God. We understand His will, what He wants us to do, and our purpose in life. Without further delay, here's another uplifting episode of the Pastor William Evans Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. We're honored to be here today. Let us bow our heads, please. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us, Lord, just to come to celebrate you, Father God. We ask, Father God, forgive us of our sins, Lord, and to cleanse us, Father God, of all unrighteousness. And to help us, Father God, just to stand firm on your word as to trust you in all things, Lord. I pray, Father God, this morning for all those that are here and those that would hear this word through various means. I pray, Father God, that you would help them to understand, Father God, that you are God, and besides you, there is no other, Lord. And the ultimate sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was made, Father God, because you love us, Father God. And you know that we're better, Father God, than we have become, Lord. But help us, Father God, just to not take that for granted, Lord. But to be able to walk in the newness of life, Father God, to surrender ourselves to you, Lord. And allow the Holy Spirit, Father God, to lead and guide us, Father God, into all truth, Lord. And Father, I thank you for that. I ask, Father God, this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Father God, let it be acceptable in your sight, Lord. These prayers I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, I thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Welcome back, everyone. As always, let us give glory to God for his presence. Gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ for this sacrifice. And surrender to the Holy Spirit as he leads and guides us into all truth. It's a great honor to be here. This is one of the greatest places you can ever be in the midst of God's people. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are partaking of a lesson that will help all of us become that much more better on this journey that God has ordained for our lives. As you will remember from the first lesson in the series, developing a relationship with God, four elements have been identified as being essential in the developing of any relationship. The first of these, communication. We have already discussed at length. In that lesson, we dealt with different types of relationships. We dealt with ethical. We dealt with interpersonal and intimate. We also talked about social and personal relationships. We defined communication and discovered that it could be verbal as well as nonverbal. Then we explored elements of effective communication. We looked at it through the vein of body language, vernacular, emotional state, and the attitude of the listener, demonstrating respect, and finally, listening actively. We then applied these elements to our communication with God with scripture reference. We will therefore center our discussion now on the second element, fellowship. Sacrifice and stewardship, the two remaining elements, will be covered in the lessons that follow. Now, I want to say this. We hear the word fellowship, and immediately we think about a gathering. We think about whether we are in a school setting, church setting, or formal setting. We look at it as fellowship. Amen. Well, fellowship is defined as a common, with common definition, as a friendly association, especially with people who share our interests. Now, this is a very serviceable meaning, but for our purpose, I would prefer that we focus on the meaning of the Greek word koinonia. This term can be defined as community, communion, partnership, sharing, and intimacy. I highlight the latter definition above the other because I believe it is better identified as the ideal state of unity that should exist in our relationship with God, as well as with each other. It is important that we all understand that the concept of fellowship goes beyond simply associating with others. While it may often be true that the more time we spend with others, the stronger our relationship with those individuals become. But time together does not necessarily imply fellowship is taking place. Fellowship without personal commitment and mutual participation is not fellowship. Fellowship could never be a passing activity. It required work towards community, communion, partnership, sharing, and intimacy. One of the most striking characteristics inherent to humankind is our sociality, our social relationships. They pervade every aspect of our lives. These relationships are far more extensive, complex, and diverse within our communities, because that's what makes our community. That's what makes our society. When we come together under one banner, one way of doing things, and we build communities. Amen. I'm reminded of the days of old. I remember growing up and all the elders would sit around and they were shelling peas, butter beans. For those of the younger generation don't know what that means, that's what that is, that's fool weed. Amen. But they would sit around and they would talk about the old days. They would talk about different things that were going on, but they would do this not only to just talk about what had happened, what was going on, but they were doing it to fellowship, to get close one to another. Talk about their children and different things going on with their families, things of that nature. So what they were doing was they were building a sense of community. They were building intimacy. Amen. In other words, they were fellowship. And I'm going to tell you how beautiful this concept works, because when something went on in one of those families, it wasn't that they were standing alone. They united to help the person that was in trouble. Amen? Whether it was encouragement, whether it was giving fundraisers, whether it was donating clothes, whether it was sitting with them when they were sick, all these different things went into that fellowship. Amen? Well, it's important for us to understand that as children of God, we can't just come to church and spend an hour or 2 hours together at church and they go home. And guess what? Never spend time together. Never talk to each other about different things. That's not, coming to church and having services and having a good time, the choir singing and the preacher preaching and all we doing all the different things after that, it's over with. That's not fellowship. Amen? Amen. And as we move forward with social relationships, social relationships, as stated earlier, form when two or more people coordinate their actions, affections, and thoughts to complement one another. This is a concept where two or more people act, feel, or think in a manner meant to do what? Complete or better each other. Amen? This is not about, I'm trying to be better than you, or you better than me, or... No, this is about What is it that I can do to help you become the best you can be? And vice versa. Amen. You see, God wants to fellowship with us because he wants us to do what? Learn how to become better. Right? He already put it. He's trying to get us to be better. He wants us to know him and in turn begin to know ourselves. Let me give you an example in a relationship. If you have a spouse, and we're going to touch on it in a minute, your spouse may be strong in one area. And that area that he or she is strong in, you're weak in. Does it make you less than them? What it does is, when you put that together, what does it does? It makes both of you complete. It makes y'all stronger. Amen? Amen. I want y'all to understand something. I'm real good on this. No two relationships are ever identical. I don't care how long somebody's been together. They can say, oh, we've been together for 50 years. We've been together for 70 years. We've been together for 30 years. We've been together for 20 years. We've been together for 5 years or whatever, right? No two relationships are ever identical. Why? Because you're dealing with different personalities. Amen? What is working for you in your relationship may not work with somebody else. What you want to do is you want to pull out those things that you can adhere to incorporate in your relationship that may make you better. But what you don't ever want to do is try to take your relationship and try to mimic someone else. Because what you do in doing that, you lose the identity of what? Your own relationship. Amen? Amen. Amen. What is essential in any relationship is developing and maintaining a sense of who we are as individuals, a sense of self. Why is this important? It's important because we're not meant to be commitments that shift our personality and behaviors to meet the premise of others. Rather, we are meant to remain true to who we are always. If I become my wife and my wife is trying to become me, are we helping each other? No. That's why I have to stay true to who I am and she has to be true to who she is. Why? Because it's designed to help us to become better as a unit. That's what fellowship does. You're looking for what's going to make our relationship better for each other. Not just for myself. But I lose that when I try to do what? Become you. I lose sight of what I'm supposed to be doing to please you. No. Amen. Amen. What's in it? For believers, we know that it is important for us to remain true to ourselves. Why? Because we know that when God saves us and Paul pulls us out of the world and calls us to live a certain type of lifestyle, everyone is not going to agree with it. You will have people that's not going to like you. You will have people that's going to despise you. Amen? We just keep it real. You know it. That's just how it is. Because their mindset is you may think you're better than them. Or who they are. You can't judge me. No. It's just that God has come into my life and changed me. And so I'm living differently. I'm thinking differently. Okay? I'm acting differently. But what in essence we have to understand is we have read it chapter 2 who we truly are. That's why we live the way we do.
Amen.
But we also got to remember that we are social beings. That our interaction with those that come into our lives are important, whether they are saved or unsaved. You can't act as though you can't learn something from people that's not saved, because you can. People that's unsaved and the Bible calls foolish, these are people that don't believe in God and don't want to adhere to the word of God. These things didn't teach us that. They teach us a thing not to do and things to do. Amen? But what you don't want to do is you don't want to be so caught up with these type of people that you get influenced by them. Well, your ass is chance.
Amen? Amen.
We know that we're going to meet opposition in this world. But we still have to work towards koinonia. We have to work towards fellowship. Because when we do that, we build better communities.
Amen?
When we do this, we build intimacy. Amen? We're able to commune with this reproduction of your relationship now complete. The time has come for us to begin looking at koinonia through the eyes of Scripture. This is very important because I want you to understand that when we began to engage in fellowship, we have to understand the importance of it and not take it for granted. When we began to engage in fellowship, both with God and others, this is neither a luxury nor a devotion option, but a spiritual necessity. Our relationship with God nourishes our relationship with others, providing it with what is vitally necessary for them to deepen and be enriched. But on the other hand, our relationship with others spreads our relationship with God, daily reinforcing the most important relationship. Only through fellowship with Him and with God's men and women, He brings into our lives, we can become the men and women He desires us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we got to understand that although the introduction of sin erected barriers to this, God's plan has always remained the same. We were created to experience koinonia. Those types of purpose gave a first that was lost to sin. It is something that we can reclaim, both on God's authority and through His power, if no one wants to do it. As the church, as the representatives of God, our purpose is to manifest koinonia, to go out and create what? Community.
Right?
To go out and commune, to go out and have intimacy. Because when your people, when you're in the world and you see the church coming and the church is acting just like the world is, like they're coming to just to get something, not to give anything, how do you feel? They turn you off. But if you come to people and you come genuine, understand the koinonia, understand that I'm coming to fellowship, not based on the natural dispense of time, which is, no, I am coming to get to know you. I am coming to spend time with you to help you, to understand that you're better than what you've become. And that's the way out. Amen?
You need it.
Amen.
Let us begin our investigation of this truth by looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And it ties to something that we must understand that is essential to every relationship. And people don't understand this, but I will tell you something. what God did for his children, what he did for the church, is tied into something that people did overlook at times. We're going to bring it out today. Amen? Amen. He said something in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. The scripture probably comes in Genesis, the book of beginnings. Because it is a foundational book for our understanding of how God views human sociality. I want you to consider what the Word of God says. It is not good for man to be alone. When you may wonder why this is so. The reason for this is that the fullness of humanity's potential cannot be unlocked apart from our association with others. Amen? Our faculties, our character are expanded and unified by the role we serve as members of a family, as friends, as co-workers, as fellow citizens, etc. To be alone is not good because isolation does not provide us with the opportunity to either grow or help others to grow. Amen? So the Bible said that God created a helpmeet for Adam, the first man. This term from the Hebrew words is a connector, which means an equal but opposite helpmeet. As you all know, this helpmeet was Eve, the first woman. I want you to hear it real good. The man and the woman are opposite, but equal. Amen. What does that mean? Well, let me explain it to you. If you look at the way things are designed in the world we live, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, there's a male and a female for everything. Right?
Okay, well, let me give you an example.
I have a plug in my hand and I'm trying to get some electricity, right? On that plug, there's three probes, right? That's the bed. Where do I put it? In the wall somewhere, which is what? A female, right? If I take those two plugs and they're two bills that sticking together, am I getting electricity? No. Amen. Even though these are opposite, the plug and the outlet on the wall, they're opposite, right? But put them together, what did they do? They complete each other, right or wrong. Because the outlet on the wall, if I put another outlet there, guess what? It's not going to do anything because it's just another outlet. But when I put a male in it, it becomes what it's supposed to. And why am I saying this? Why am I saying it? Because contrary to what has become a far too common view in modern society, women are the perfect counterpart for me. The genders are neither inferior nor superior one to another, but rather equal in personhood and unique in function. The height of the glory of the Bible commentary of Matthew Henry perhaps related this most beautifully when he explained that Eve was not made out of head to rule over him, nor out of Adam's feet to be trampled upon him. Eve was made out of Adam's side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near in heart to be beloved. Alone, Adam was incomplete.
He let someone who could accompany him and enable him to fulfill the task of multiplying and taking dominion over them. With Eve, however, this became possible. Just as the first man needed a wife to accompany his help mentally, physically, and spiritually, so that together they could fulfill God's plan for humanity. So the men need women, and women need men today, for the same reason. We can talk all about you. Opposite attracts. Opposites are what God designed. Amen. But a desire to complete you. Now let me say something here. And to talk about koinonia. Fellowship. God wrapped fellowship into one of the most sacred things that humanity can do. Marriage. Amen. Why? Because in marriage, you're supposed to be working towards what? Community. Right? In marriage, you're supposed to commune. You know, come on now. In marriage, you're supposed to be intimate. Right? Amen. So if you take that mentality into going out to help somebody come to know the Lord, how easy would it become to draw people in? For them to understand that you love them unconditionally. That you're trying to help them because this is who you are. And you're receiving me because that's who you are. Amen. I mentioned something to my wife years ago. That we can go different places, and I noticed something, that there was people that I was not able to reach. But she was able to reach. Amen. And so I needed her to reach those people while God had me reaching these other people. Right? Because we're a team. Well, I'm strong. She may be weak, but she's not really weak because I'm strong for her then. And when she's strong, I may be weak, but guess what? She's strong for me then. Amen?
You mean?
That's the balance we must have in our relationships. What's the same thing with God? That's the balance we got to have in our relationship with God. Look, we're not going to be strong all the time. Let God be our strength. We don't know everything all the time, but God does. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to understand something. No one. I'm going to say this again. No one calls into the world complete. We are social Christians for a reason. We need others to perfect who we are and who are. Okay, who we are to become. There is this understanding. I'm sorry, there is this underlying struggle between demons that is perpetuated about this fear that's being perpetuated. It's like it's a loss of power. This is false narrative. In a relationship, or even in a society, no gender have ultimate power. For example, when someone makes more money than their spouse, male or female, automatically an assumption is made that they should handle the money. This is a false premise. It should be whoever's disciplined to take care of the finances. That's the one he can take care of the money. Why? Because the ultimate goal is to care for the finances, not the gender. Amen.
Amen.
Outside of our relationship with God, the relationship we share with our spouses is of supreme importance. As we all know, however, this is not the only type of relationship God has designed for us to partake of. Beyond the confines of our home is this a world of men and women, both saved and unsaved. We must cultivate our relationships with them as well. Our relationship affects the well-being of our relational selves. But we got to be wise in how we interact with people. We got to be wise in the type of people we deal with.
Amen.
Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, now this is beautiful. It says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise.
Amen.
And this Proverbs 13 and 20. It plainly says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise.
Amen.
But what when he says, and then that's the latter part of his verse, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. These are two groups of people, right? Wise and foolish.
Right?
We touched upon the fools earlier. This passage perfectly confirmed what we have been discussing. For better or for worse, we will be affected by the people we choose to associate with. We must be careful not to read too much into this passage. Then what it's saying, we know we got to protect ourselves from becoming too involved in people that the Bible calls fools. Fools are people that deny the existence of God or the power of God. But we can't shut them out.
Right?
We just have to be mindful of how we deal with them.
Amen. Amen.
At this point, you'll be wondering how we are meant to do this. How are we meant to develop a deeper relationship with all-knowing and all-powerful and perfect God when we ourselves are so limited and so flawed? This is the beauty of the love of God. We don't have to meet models of sinless perfection in order to draw near to him. Remember, Romans 5 and 8 says, God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died in us. Despite our sinful condition, because of him, in fact, the Lord himself made it possible for us to draw near to him through the sacrifice of his son, Christ Jesus. All we must do is to accept this, and our relationship has already begun. As I have shared time and time again, God desires relationship with his creation. This was true at the beginning when he walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3 and 8. And it was true when he was with Abraham, with Noah, Isaac, and Jacob. When he was with Isaiah on him, and the list goes on. God has always wanted to have a relationship with his people. Amen.
Amen.
We don't start with just communication. We have to adhere to fellowship, koinonia. We have to understand the importance of that fellowship.
Amen.
But I want you to understand something, and I want to emphasize something here. There was a contract between true and false fellowship. True fellowship comes from the heart, where the heart has to be devoted to God. False fellowship is when you're spending time going to church, you may be studying, you're part of an auxiliary, whatever. We've got all the other things going on that has your ultimate attention.
Amen. Amen.
Look with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now, I want you all to see this story. I want you to understand, though, the importance of understanding the difference between true fellowship and false fellowship or misguided fellowship. Amen. And a lot of times people are not aware of it. So what I want to do, I want to point it out. So when you find yourself in that type of situation, you understand that you know what, I need to change courses. I need to get myself back where I need to be in true fellowship. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 reads, "Now it came to pass, as it went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was covered about much serving." In other words, she in here fixing fools. She's trying to show hospitality. What's not wrong with that? She wants to feed you, right?
Yes.
But I want you to see here this. It says, they came to him, Martha came to him, and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful." Y'all see that? Said, "You're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Amen. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha's heart was to show hospitality to Jesus. Mary, however, chose what? Koinonia. Right? This is why she sat at his feet. Please, make no mistake, both women sincerely loved the Lord. But Mary chose choice of action to interact with Jesus was prayer because it involved personal, immediate, and lasting devotion to him. This is true fellowship. Amen? True fellowship with God still for our heart devoted to him. False fellowship from the heart devoted to anything else. He made a statement. He said, "You trouble about what? Many things? You so preoccupied by all these different things that's going on that you're missing the truly important thing." Amen?
Amen.
Look, you could be in the same room with somebody. In the same house. Doesn't mean you fellowship. Amen? You could be on the job with somebody every day, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. And guess what? Does not mean you fellowship with. Amen? Him. Tell them to say about that. Amen? Amen? If we want to be sure that the time we spend in fellowship with God is sincere, the type of fellowship that he desires, we must make him the center of our attention. And listen to, not just hear us, follow his instruction to us with our hearts. This will determine the sincerity of our relationship with the Lord. As we close, on the other side, that fellowship is a gift that stems from the grace of God. It involves the opening of our hearts first to God and then to other believers. Whether we learn to grow, I'm sorry, where we learn to grow and mature as the children of God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you once again for joining us today. I pray that you will embrace fellowship in the Greek term of koinonia, community, communion, partnership, sharing, and intimacy. Amen. Now may the grace of God, the sweet community of his Holy Spirit, let it rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth and forever. Let every child of God signify what I said. Amen.
And amen.
You just listened to another episode of the Pastor William Evans Podcast. Pastor William Evans Podcast was recorded live in the studio with final editing before upload. Subscribe today to the Pastor William Evans Podcast or visit tcuic.org for more godly, inspired content. Don't miss the next episode, and God bless.